And thank you for inviting me to your party today. I am thrilled to be here. My heart is just full and overflowing, so it is a wonderful honor to be with you today. And it's hard to believe, and so thanks to Lisa and the session for inviting me today. And it's hard to believe that I've been away for 10 years, and all of a sudden I get to come back twice in 2 weeks. First for Brandon's ordination installation service, which was such a great celebration. And then today, as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of the church.
Wow, wow!
And not only is it a celebration today for the church, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. We are celebrating World Communion Sunday when we gather and give thanks that there is a place for everyone at the party of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Still our restless spirits, nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now today's Old Testament reading is the assigned passage for those of you who are reading through the Bible, which is an amazing undertaking and rather a daunting challenge. But I admire you for doing that, and I hope it has added so much to your faith and to your life. I want to set the stage for those verses that you have read as you're reading through the Bible from Isaiah 25. God's people have been suffering. The Babylonians have swept in and captured the people. Their temple was destroyed. They were scattered to the winds. And in the midst of terrible destruction and desolation, the people ask, "Where is God? In what can we hope?" Aren't these the very same questions that we ask in difficult times? Well, in Eugene Peterson's Bible translation, The Message, we read desperate statements in the previous chapter before today. Statements such as, the earth is polluted by its very own people. Its people pay the price of their own sacrilege. The good times are gone forever. No more joy for this old world. Just a few verses later in chapter 25, we hear a portion of a poem praising God who has not deserted us, but rather our God is on the loose in the world, doing marvelous things for all people. So I invite you to listen again for God's word in Isaiah 25, 6 through 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." The word of the Lord. Before coming to North Raleigh Church in late 2000, I served at University Presbyterian Church in Chapel Hill, and occasionally my colleague Bob and I went for coffee before the evening session meeting. Well, to get to the corner coffee shop, we passed by a sports bar, and then a wine bar. After all, it's a university town. The first time we went for coffee, Bob ordered his, and then I ordered a skim decaf latte. The woman behind the counter called to the barista, "One, why bother?" Well, that night, Bob was fortified through the meeting with his coffee. And after the meeting was over, he was ready to sit down and rehash the events of the meeting. On the other hand, without the benefit of caffeine to keep me going, I was weary and I couldn't wait to get home. I remembered how the barista called my coffee a why bother when I listened last week to an interview with some of the young climate activists from several countries. The interviewer asked the young climate activist, those young, passionate, idealistic people, what gives you hope? How do you keep going? Well, one of them answered, "I have hope that the world's leaders will do the right thing and take action on behalf of their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren." Another one answered, "I have hope that other people will step up to help on the world problem before it's too late." And another, "that we can depend on each other to keep fighting together." Well, our climate issues were the big news last week. This past week, we've moved on to other chaos in Washington. But no matter the circumstances all around us, the question remains the same. When faced with such seemingly insurmountable problems, whether on a worldwide or a national, local, family, or even individual scale, some of us might just wonder, why bother? After all, the challenges are just too great and the struggles too overwhelming. So what about you? What keeps you going? When life is the most challenging, what gives you hope? As Christians, we claim the promises we heard in Isaiah and throughout the Bible that the Lord God will act and has acted to save us and the world. And in this we place our hope. We live our lives. We find strength in the community of the church, even as we go out to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who wonder, why even bother? Well, today we are celebrating the story of what God has done in this place. It's one that began more than 35 years ago, back in the early 80s, when Presbyterians and other churches in Raleigh decided that a new congregation was needed in this part of a growing city. And so in good Presbyterian fashion, the subject was discussed, and then discussed some more, and then some more. And finally, it was decided, yes, it was time to form a new church. A young pastor named Wilson Gunn, actually who's retired now, was hired as the evangelist, and yes, I said evangelist, to spread the word about a new church being formed. I bet you didn't know Presbyterians use that word, evangelist. Well, along the way, people agreed to become part of this new church. At the time, some were active in other churches but felt led to support this new endeavor. Others probably were neighbors and friends or new residents in the area and wanted to find a church home. So soon a small group began to worship, first down the street at a child care center and then on the stage at Lynn Road Elementary School. NRPC was chartered 35 years ago in 1984 with 113 members. I think six are still members today. And then 5 years later, in 1989, the first multi-use building provided worship, classroom, fellowship, and office space, now called the Faith Ministries Building. And then on Pentecost in 2002, we broke ground for this beautiful sanctuary. And a year later, in 2003, we worshiped here for the first time. How many of you were here for that service? Well, like me, many of you have cherished memories of earlier days. I remember standing out in the parking lot watching as the steeple was lifted and placed on top of this building. I remember our first worship service in here when the Reverend Wadia Antoon, a beloved part of this congregation for many years before his death, carried the pulpit Bible as we processed from the FMB to the sanctuary for our first service. I remember our first Super Saturday yard sale with its proceeds dedicated to mission, and who would have imagined it has become an annual tradition here focused on helping others. And one more memory, when our brand new sanctuary flooded after heavy rains and before damage was put in correctly. Does anyone remember how the water came to the top of the chancel steps and to the front row? And we had to rent industrial pumps and fans to dry it out before Sunday. There are so many happy memories, but there are difficult memories too. You've had your ups and downs. You face the challenges of changing membership and pastoral leadership. You've survived serious times of conflict, but you have weathered it together. And now, 35 years later, you are God's people in this place still. And your future as a congregation is brighter than it has ever been. And for the first time in your 35 years, you have a very strong and gifted pastoral team in Lisa and in Brandon. And you are a vital, welcoming community of faithful, of engaged, active Christians of all ages. And you have beautiful facilities to share. Like all other healthy congregations facing changing times, you have entered a time of assessment and discernment, even as you continue your daily ministry together. And since calling new pastoral leadership, you are in the middle of a three-year focus with the themes of worshiping, growing, and serving. Last year, you focused on worship, thoughtful, faithful, relevant, joyful worship. And this year, your focus has been on growing, both in numbers, as evidenced by new members today, and growing in faith through study and classes, and the commitment many of you have taken on to read through the Bible. Next year, you're focusing on serving, and I encourage you to consider prayerfully how you will use your gifts and experiences to serve the community around you. Recently, I read that about one-third of all younger people feel lonely. Despite social media, people of all ages and situations are struggling to connect in real ways with one another, to find meaning in their lives, to become a part of something larger than themselves. And I know that many of you have found a richer purpose and a deeper faith here at the church. And I know that when you feel overwhelmed, you can turn to one another and receive care and support and find hope as part of this community. For you have put your trust in God, the God who never lets us down. And we need to help others discover what it is like to be part of such a community as this. Now, yes, the greater church has changed dramatically over the last few years. And mainline denominations are realizing that it's not enough just to open the doors and assume people will come through them. We must change. We have to go out and meet them where they are in whatever circumstances they find themselves and invite them in. Well, change is not easy, and it's not always comfortable, but it is necessary. So my question before you is, how will you serve the needs of those out there? And that includes how you will serve with your facilities, not just this membership on Sunday, but throughout the week. How will you use this place to help others? Now, compared to many other church communities, NRPC is relatively young. Just think of it in terms of life stages. Like 35-year-old people, you are still building your foundation. Your building blocks are the three words that Lisa introduced to you: worship, grow, and serve, and they will help guide you in the coming years. So today, as we gather, we honor your beginning. We honor how God has been at work faithfully among you through the good times and the bad times for your 35 plus years. And there is so much more to come. This meal set before us gives us hope for the present and for our future. And so we are invited to come trusting in the one who calls us here and in whose grace, forgiveness, love, and healing, and mercy, and hope we live each day. Come to this table, trusting that the one who calls us to make room for all who are hungry sends us out into the world, a world struggling to have hope. And remember always in our Lord, all things are possible. So may others see our love for Jesus Christ by what we are, not just by what we say, but what we do and how we live our lives. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, faithful God, that you love us enough to speak the truth to us. Give us courage and openness along our way together to love and serve not just you, but the whole world you love. In Jesus' name, amen.